that is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the fifth.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Are we all good here? Is your mug in the shot here? Of course it is.
Absolutely
it is.
Of course it is. It was there for a reason.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Full Reptile Radio. Are we all good?
Yeah.
Are we recording? Yeah. Are you sure?
Are we recording? That's got to be a sticker.
Are we?
I've got to do that.
Are we rolling? That is lovely.
How nice.
And you, people don't realise, you draw these up for each one, don't you? You make a new one.
Yeah, but it's only like...
Craft it.
15 minutes before.
I know, yeah, like, exactly.
Shit,
yeah.
I've got something to do.
Yeah. Let me just drink my tea and do a background. But then as you were drawing it and I was watching, I thought to myself, I know what I'll go and grab. I know what's been in the back of my cupboard since it was cleared out of my mum and dad's loft.
Yeah.
And I showed up one day, like 2 or 3 years after moving out, and they were like,
this is yours.
Here's everything that you own.
Dude.
This is all, get it out of the house.
I had exactly the same thing. My mom...
Weren't quite that aggressive, but you know,
that was
the essence of it. Oh, it was for you, wasn't
it?
Oh
yeah, full tilt. My mum's house is really big. So she'd got it out of the loft. Or she'd done it all on her own. You know when moms will do that thing, it's like, we need to do that thing. And then before you know it, they're already doing it on their own. You're like, bro, why are you in a loft? So I had, I think there was 5 stacking tubs of Lego. You know, the old big plastic tubs.
That's a good find, though.
Oh, dude, yeah. Well, but then I've got to get it home and put it somewhere. And I can't just keep playing with it. Because then I think I had 5 bags of Scare Electric.
Did you have enough to fill the bath? Could you have had a Lego bath?
I could have had a Lego bath all day, yeah. Yeah, easy. I told you how I got it all, didn't I?
That's a thumbnail for our podcast, isn't it?
Owen in a Lego bath?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
In a bathtub full of Lego.
It will be the dustiest, crabbiest, off-white, yellowy brick bath.
Yeah, is it really?
With all of the space helmets snapped. Like one guy with... There'll be no hands in any people.
No, of course.
You had to borrow them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did like...
And coloured in trousers.
Coloured in, yeah. Maybe.
I don't know...
Maybe make him some dungarees.
I don't know where they came from. I never did it to my Lego, but I have sets of trousers, sets of legs that have been coloured in with a blue biro, and I'm like, who the fuck was making jeans?
Yeah, and like, there was no Sharpies. So
no.
It wasn't like you could leave it on. It would be, your thumb touches it, and it's
he
looks like he's got stonewashed denim. But I had my toys growing up, so I had all the normal stuff. But then, I know I mentioned this before, so I'll be quick. But when I was 16 and I had a moped, I had a top box on the back that was slightly smaller than one of them tubs. And wherever I went, because when I was 16, it was 97. So there wasn't the big boom of mopeds that there is now. And all my mates would be like, oh, let me have a go. So I would rent it out. And because I had, if I was 16, I had 3 younger brothers. One was 6, one was 7, and one was 8. And basically, I'd make them fill my top box. So I had Lego, Scare Electric, Charges. Can you remember Charges? They were like it was a remote control car, but they were small. And you'd basically have a handle that you would plug it onto for a second. It would give it enough boost. Then you could have a little Tazzy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a couple of BMXs. Dude, just literally shit for days. G.I. Joe, He-Man, Action Man. And then I'd get to my mum's and she's like, that's yours. And I didn't have a big car, but I would just have reams of shit. Then I'd get home and Stacey would give me that. Where's that going to go?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to build it all.
I'm going to buy a new shed.
Yeah, I would love to buy a new shed. Yeah, I'm not allowed any more
buy
sheds.
Buy a new shed. I think you should be allowed. You've got a long garden. You could have a few sheds in there.
I've got 4.
You could have a row of sheds.
Yeah, I have got...
Be like beachfront.
Yeah.
Paint them all different colours. Be like Bournemouth, mate.
Yeah, if it looked like an old deck chair, I think she'd be into it if it was a bit kitschy. But
you come out one day and there'll be old people sitting outside drinking tea.
I'd take that. I can handle old people. They're my favourite type of people.
Because they're slow and weak.
They're just miserable at the right
Easy
things.
Easy to manhandle out the house.
Oh, yeah, you can just tussle up. No, you can't. No, they've got that wiry strength, haven't they?
It's weird strength, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember doing this competition when we were at Taekwondo. It was like a Thursday night and we were training a sports hall at a school. So they had all like the old kind of the wooden bits that came out and bolted into the floor and then a bar had come down from somewhere and ropes and Swedish wall bars and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway. My granddad started training In fact, Mystery, right behind you is a photo. Grab me that photo.
Oh, where
I'm wearing one of the. I'm wearing an awful t-shirt on it. It is a.
Is it an Affliction?
Chuck Liddell. Affliction shirt.
I can see it a mile off. That was the second one they made. Just to let you know, that's the second one they released.
I mean, anybody that's read my book will know about my granddad. But that's that. I came across this picture the other day. I thought to myself, "Ah, oh, look at that."
Beautiful.
Terrible shirt though, isn't it? I mean, really awful. Fit, like, nice feel to them.
Mate, they were a vintage cotton.
I mean, for fuck's sake, look at that. It's like a skull and there's some wings in there. And what are we trying to tell the children?
But they all had wings in skulls. They did, didn't they?
Nothing to do with MMA. No one's got wings. I mean, everyone's got a skull, but we don't necessarily need to.
The first one was Randy versus Tim Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
When Randy came out of retirement. And he hit him with
crossbones on your hat.
Is it there?
Yeah. No wings, though.
Everyone's into schools.
No wings, no cobwebs.
No chains, no flames.
No chains, no flames.
No. Well, that was the first one, because I got that, and I got Randy to sign it when I met him.
Mm.
Well, he was not impressed about it.
What, the Iceman one?
No. Imagine. Yeah, knocked me out. But then they bought that one out, and then there was a generic one with a bandana.
Mm.
They did a Mike Thomas Brown.
Did they, yeah.
For saying that, because it was all WEC, and he'd beat Faber twice.
Uh-huh.
And it was in that era, so they did that. They did a Ricky Hatton.
Was that the one where Faber bounced off the fence onto a punch?
He bounced off to do a spinning back elbow. Yeah. And yeah. Mike Thomas Brown was just like...
Mike Thomas Brown.
That's what it said.
Before he became Mike Brown as the coach.
Mate,
when he became a coach.
I saw him in Vegas and I said, Mr. Mike Thomas Brown, it is a pleasure to meet you. And he looked at me like all of the other coaches and fighters looked at me. Like, why the fuck are you in the media tent? Why are you here?
Yeah. He's awesome, Mike Brown. He's a good Amazing. Coach. Nice yeah, dude. Yeah. Anyway, the story I was talking about the sports hall, the Taekwondo
strength.
Place. My granddad started training with us when he was 60 and retired at 65.
Okay.
You know, graded a couple of belts, but, you know, just was there just Undefeated. To do it and to, you know, he used to take me along and all that kind of stuff. Nice one, Mystery. Someone called you Ministry the other day. I thought that was quite cool.
Ministry? Yeah. Nice.
Ministry. Good band.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Ministry of Mystery. We're good?
Yeah. Kicking the fuck out of everything, isn't it? Oh, Jesus.
So
it's amazing. Look, have you seen this? You've seen his phone screen, haven't you?
Oh, dude, I've seen it all.
There's a crackling.
I've seen it all. It upsets me more than it upsets him.
I can hear... Oh, I can hear a bit of feedback
There's
from
a bit
somewhere.
Of fuzz. A bit
of... Oh, see? Kick it. See,
I'm on.
You know what I mean?
I'm on airport mode.
Anyone that's got that hat that's got so many colours on it.
You know that hat actually comes with a propeller.
Yeah.
That hat legit comes with a propeller, like Fozzie Bear. Ministry of Fozzie.
Ministry of Foz. Brilliant.
Are you getting a nice picture?
I'm just taking loads.
Do we need to shop a propeller on?
I'm trying to give him the feeling that he gives me most of the time when I'm at the gym.
Not uneasy. So after 65,
he just stopped and he kept coming along and watching and bringing plenty of cold water for everybody and all that kind of stuff, as granddads do. But we did this one thing where we bought one of those balance beams down to like, so we could all be off the floor basically.
Yeah.
And it was a who can hang on the longest. And we're all like, you know, we're ranging from sort of 15 to like 35.
But you're all ace guys.
And then there was
you're
a jump.
Cats. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But then, and then there's a jump up to like 65, my granddad. And he literally, he like hooked on.
And that was it.
And just stayed there, just closed his eyes.
Yeah.
And like we all failed. But Mate. Forearms are burning. Oh, God. Just turn around. He's just still hanging
still
there
going.
Like in this meditative state.
That was like that guy. Can you remember season two against Joe Daddy Stevenson? What's his name? Luke Kumo.
Is this... Oh, yeah.
Luke Kumo.
He's still mad.
He went against the wall, and it's not a plank or a bench. What's it called? Where you put
your
back
against
the wall.
Yeah, like a wall sit.
A wall, and he was just there, and no one recognised who he was. No one knew who he was, and he did that. And then, I think it was Matt Hughes and Rich Franklin as the coaches, and they changed over. Rich Franklin came in, still there. What are you doing? Proving a point.
Who was the one... Who were the coaches when they did... Was it Diego doing the climb around drill?
The monkey drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And No. Mark Dodson, John Dodson did that as well.
Yeah, but there was an
Diego
early
did it
one.
Early on.
And he did like 300 revolutions.
Yeah.
And then the other team said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. We forfeit.
Yeah, because they did a challenge, didn't they? They used to do like rope climbing challenges and mad
that was
shit.
It.
Yeah, weird. But old people, it's the strength. Like my granddad. My granddad worked, he was down the pit. Then he worked for Silkaline for, and it, I mean, to be fair, to bring Silkaline in, that's Fox, which is the one, Fouche. How do you say it?
The it's Fouche.
Fouche lubricant, yeah. Right?
F-U-C-H-S.
Which are now part it's of...
definitely not Fox.
Fox. Well, we always called it Fox when we were on the motorbikes because you needed oil. I need some Fox oil. Do you know what I mean?
Of course you think it's Fox as well. Yeah?
It's the same.
Pronounced Fox, is it? Yeah.
Well, they've sponsored Emma, Fuchs. So that's what Fuchs. That's what brought it back to my mind. But he, because he was always dealing in with oil and all that sort of stuff, his grip strength was fucking insane. Mm. And I can remember being on holiday once, and it was one of them ones where we used to go with my grandparents, and my mum was giving me the, no, you're not going to do that. And I was, say, I don't know, 14, 15, and I'm pushing back a little bit. And I was like, oh, yeah? Watch this. And I basically pushed my chair out to stand up, and he just grabbed me just on my wrist and was like, sit down. And he was 4'11", tiny. Like, he was as wide as he was tall, not fat, but he was just solid and just grabbed me. And I was like, fucking what? And honestly, I've never been gripped up, police anyone, in the same manner. That
old man strength.
Me, it was just old dude strength, yeah.
That's something, though, like working down the pit.
Yeah.
Like, that was something I heard a lot in my childhood, but I never really started to actually comprehend it until I was a bit older. Like, the idea of going down underground to mine coal.
Yeah.
Sounds fucking awful.
Mate. Well, my uncle, Kevin, so my dad's side of the family is from Sheffield, which is obviously big mining industry, community and all the rest of it. They've made films about it, but it's out there. And there was a big news story one year where what they did, they got into a lift, went down the mine shaft, and then there was a conveyor belt, similar to, I don't know, the shopping, whatever, just a conveyor belt you'd kneel on or crouch, and then you'd jump off when you get to the end. And this thing lost speed. It lost all programming and just went apeshit, and it went to whatever mile an hour. If I say it was 80, it might have been 8. I don't know. Whatever it was dangerous. A lot of people got hurt, and he was on it. And, he
fucking hell.
Hit his head and got diagnosed with something like epilepsy and couldn't go back.
Yeah.
So he went from just working every day, doing this. And he's the same. His hands are like pan shovels. It's fucking horrible. You know when you go to shake someone's hand and it just sort of dwarfs your entire arm? You're like, okay.
Yeah, Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shook hands with him and I couldn't see most of my arm at the same time.
But you're all born a baby. Like that. Those genetics, you know, that drop in and go, you're going to be 5'7".
You're going to be supersized.
Yeah, you're going to be the size of a 14-year-old girl. Good, I can live with that. And Garner's like, he's eating 4 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Dude.
He's terrifying.
But then at the weekend, what do you reckon? Cyril Gane? Did he look good enough to give you the impression that he could beat Ngannou?
The problem is, I wanted Lewis to win.
Did you?
I really did, because
I like Derek Lewis, but I didn't want him to be champ. I don't want him with a belt around his waist. Because he just doesn't represent the pinnacle of MMA.
He doesn't, but the thing is, I kind of got past that a little bit with Brock, because I never liked Brock. Because Brock came in, Frank obviously had a word with him.
Yeah.
He then fought Heath Herring and rolled him across the cage, didn't put him away, which to me, that's Heath Herring, bro. Then he fought Randy and was 7 times the size of him. Hit him in the head with that. You know one of those industrial cans of baked beans that you get at like a...
Mate, I was at that event.
Mate.
When Brock got into the octagon, he looked like one of those 1960s fridge freezers.
Yeah.
Like ones you could hide in during a nuclear blast.
It would look better if it said Smeg across his chest than that sword, yeah. Dagger.
Cock Chestnut. Have you seen the picture?
I have not.
Someone's photoshopped like a tattooed cock on there. It says Cock Chestnut.
I don't think you've got to Photoshop a lot.
No, it's not.
Maybe just a Japs.
Yeah,
it's and you're in. Do you know what I mean?
Not a wonderful tattoo.
No.
But then, you know, I don't know what else I'd expect of him. Maybe some moose antlers across his back.
Yeah, they are kind of dark. It's almost that, you know, when someone's trying to prove a point that they're tough. Yeah. And you're like, there's a degree to nerd armor. And I know that. But you can tell when someone is comfortable within themselves to get brain dead on their leg or part of a story. Whereas it doesn't have to be like, you know, when you've got like a reaper dripping with blood, holding a skull and eating a baby. And you're like, all right, if you're into that.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone fully ever is.
It's like Fedor's brother, isn't it? Like, have you seen, like, he's got some crazy, he's got like a skeleton Madonna on his back holding a baby.
Yeah.
He's got some mad prison tattoos on his knees with some, you know, symbols and stuff Dude. That you'd only get in a Russian prison.
Chris Bliss bought a book into work once, and he'd bought this Russian prison tattoo like dictionary. And you're just going through, and it's like, that means that you've killed such and such with such and such, and that means that you did it with a biro. And honestly,
Alexander Melinenko on every page like that.
Yeah, just modelling, just showing his calf off.
He's a scary individual. Savage. I taught a seminar with him once, and it was at Harvey Adden where we used to do the Cage Warriors events, and it was like we were teaching on mats on a basketball court that had been, you know, had mats put down.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the curtain there was a basketball court with no mats. So he'd come over, he'd teach a bit of a technique, and then he'd go onto the other side and play basketball while we were drilling it.
Really?
I mean, I wasn't doing the seminar, I was like teaching a part of it. But it was just the weirdest fucking thing. It was like he just clearly didn't want to be there.
Uh-uh. Do you know who my brother is?
And then didn't he like move to a monastery and grow a massive beard or something? He was like working as a carpenter in a monastery.
Yeah, in between. So like him and Fedor came along pretty similar.
Yeah.
Because was Fedor's breakout, was it against Little Nog or Big Nog?
Yeah, it was.
Was it Pride Nogueira, 8 or something like that?
Something like
that. It was
that.
Early doors, but it was like, I'm sure it was one of the Nogs. And he kind of came out and was like, oh yeah, I just look like a butcher, but I'm not. I'm a straight killer.
Yeah,
with his little wooden.
There were big massive wooden crucifix. Yeah, thing. They were so different though, weren't they? Like the two Fedor, but like Fedor's fighting again though. Do you see that? Johnson.
Okay, yeah, and is that to get him a win?
I wanted Josh Barnett. That's the fight I wanted. Although there was somebody. Oh yeah, JDS was talking about putting his name in the hat.
Really?
Like, imagine that.
I wouldn't mind watching
JDS. You could put JDS Verdum. Josh Barnett and Fedor in a little four-man tournament.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Would they be able to have all the smarties they want?
All the smarties they want.
They can have any sweets.
Yeah, yeah. Because dip their hands in caramel and then in smarties and jelly babies.
Because Josh Barnett, he can't pop again and it'd be a bad thing. I think the age he is, it's all right now.
Yeah.
Have what you want. Same as Fedor. Have what you want.
Yeah.
I just want
to... Do you reckon he would, though? Do you reckon...
What, Barnett?
Yeah.
I don't know when he hasn't.
He had his UFC belt took off him, didn't he, for that?
That was against Randy.
Yeah.
But that was still classed as a loss.
Mate, was it a loss?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a done no contest? No,
it was in early days, so I'm sure they sort of did that thing a bit like the...
not sure what they were doing.
Matt Serra against... Can't remember, Matt Serra against Din. And they went back and were like, yeah, you won. But you just said I won. He's like, yeah, well. What about the record? There are no records.
Yeah, don't matter.
Yeah, no one will remember this.
Don't matter. I put a tweet out just before we started. So what I think we should do... every episode is discuss an event, an old event. And I thought I'd ask a few questions. I've asked the question and we've got a few good recommendations.
Okay.
But
just quickly on Garn then.
Yeah. We're not done with that. Cause I want to talk about some matchups as well.
You hit us with some structure and I will follow.
No, and don't give me that responsibility. Tell me about Garn. Tell me about Cyril Garn and how you think he matches up against Ngannou.
I think I will be really jazzed for it when it comes round because they're both quite young in an early career and they've both got the background, obviously, from the French camp and all the rest of it. When you've got someone seasoned like Stipe coming in against Francis, there's a definite game plan. There's a definite, he's got a stronger wrestling base. He's going to completely exploit that. And as much as it was an incredible win for Stipe, it wasn't one of the Ngannou over him, like, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders to the bleachers. So I always admire someone's fight and knowledge and skill set and all the rest of it, but there's something to be said for two heavyweights that are at a similar point in their career that they're going to probably keep it standing, which I'm more excited about because I want to see if Gunn can take a punch.
See, that's the first thing. We've not seen him take a punch.
No.
We've not seen him take a punch because he's been too fast for everybody.
Exactly.
And this is where I'm interested to see like where they match this and when they match this. Because you would think this is going to be a pay-per-view main event. It'll be in the big octagon, which obviously favours Cyril Garn. But then if you look at the MMA factory, it's a small mat and you put a couple of heavyweights on there and it becomes even smaller. And I think they've had a good few rounds where Ngannou's been in the pocket. So he knows how he does when he's able to get his hands on Cyril. And I think he still might be discouraged and feel that he's difficult to hit anyway.
Yeah.
Because even when Cyril is closed down, he's got good defence and good head movement. He's really difficult to hit.
He's just fast. It's fast and so smooth. Like Derek Lewis, there was no scraps for him left out anywhere for him to clamp on.
He landed like three strikes or something. It's like three clean strikes. Yeah. And I wouldn't even say they were clean. I mean, there was not a mark on his face.
No.
And Derek Lewis is a headhunter.
Yeah.
So it's not even like we'd look for damage anywhere else in the body. But one thing I will say, though, I think the occasion got to Lewis.
It was a lot more about mental for Lewis. It was the same as when he fought Ngannou that first time. As much as we class that as an Ngannou win, no one won in that fight.
Oh, it was...
No one won in that fight. If we're saying it was the two big bangers going against each other,
yeah,
I think the thing that has put Garn higher up for me and has given him more of a chance to win, I mean, they've both obviously got a chance, we know that. But when he fought Rozenstruik and he could avoid, he avoided so much.
Yeah.
And he made Rozenstruik look like all of Rozenstruik's opponents before him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of, for me, that just, it just gave him another tick in that attributes box thing. He's definitely got a chance. Like there's more elements that he could win. Whereas we know that Francis, going up against heavy hitters, he's more in his own head.
Yeah.
Like when he fought Lewis. Like when he fought...
So do you think he'll be better then because he doesn't think Cyril's a heavy hitter? Because he's not heavy-handed like Derek Lewis would be. And so that makes sense why Gann and Lewis had that standoff, especially because, you know, Lewis does take people down from time to time, and Gann had just spent 25 minutes under Stipe.
Yeah.
So it was almost like he had a bit of a freeze.
Ngannou.
Both of them. Yeah. But I think, yeah, but Ngannou had a bit of a freeze because of that, and because he was up against another power puncher, and Derek Lewis did because he's up against someone that can match him for power.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think sometimes Lewis can come in his own head.
Yeah.
I think he did in that fight.
100%.
So I think the question in my mind with Ngannou and Gann is, because they're familiar with each other in sparring, does Ngannou hold back? You know, is he hesitant against Cyril? Because does he go, oh, well, okay, Cyril's not Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, he might be able to hit me 100 times, but he won't knock me out.
Yeah, he's not
going to
take my head off.
So then does Ngannou go, as long as I can get close to him and force him to trade in the pocket, I'm always going to come off better in that equation. It might give him more confidence, is what I'm saying, because they're familiar.
See, one of the big things that I think plays into it, because with all that, it's kind of on the night. You never really know, do you? Mm. And we're trying to make sense of one performance or a couple of performances. I think what I've seen over the years of me following MMA is when you see someone get to a point like, let's say, Rashad. Rashad stood back, waited for John. Big mistake.
Mm.
This sport never, ever stops. So when Connor stopped for a minute and came back against the person he's beat, then he gets beaten. It's like, oh, whoa, this isn't how this works. I've already done this. And it's kind of replaying moments. So when I saw that Stipe had lost and Ngannou had won, Ngannou up until that point was just fighting and kept clawing back. So he got up to the title shot, lost, then carried on again. There was not a lot of stuff in the media. There was nothing public about money, about where he's training, about negotiating or any of that stuff, which kind of makes stuff, I don't know, what you know what it's like when you're fighting and someone just drops you off for a fight each week at Taekwondo or whatever, is different than someone negotiating a purse or whatever it is. And I think because Cyril's not going through any of that, he's still that hungry kid that's justifying and proving himself. And you see each time, like he's had a couple of performances that weren't absolutely standout.
Yeah.
But I think even with someone like GSP, just before he beat...
But even his standouts, it made him look easy, didn't it?
Exactly. Mm. But there were times when it's like GSP got to the party before he realised he should have been there. So he psyched himself out against Matt Hughes by not even being able to look him in the eye and then went kind of careful. He always showed up, but it wasn't as many stoppages or finishes, and it was more a case of managing danger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Managing threat. And that can become counterproductive when you're managing danger. And like there was a saying, make yourself comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Mm.
I don't think that's the exact saying because it sounds stupid, but you know what I mean?
It was something like that, though, and that's quite poetic as it is.
Yeah.
You know, especially for this podcast.
Well, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean,
We've got Lego screensavers.
Well, that's another tangent we need because I've got that Lego set down.
We'll
come back to that, but that will remind us.
But because Cyril has not relaxed into his big payday, his pay-per-view payday, looking at money.
Does that change with the belt, though? Because he's got a belt
exactly,
now,
but
if it's a, you know,
it's not a long enough time because he's got, because as much as in the build up, Francis said that is the real belt. That's the belt. Lewis said that's the belt. Cyril did not say that. He was like, yeah, well, it's just a ticket to the show, which I admire that because he's not stopping until he's got there.
Yeah,
and a lot of people sort of get there and then do that. All right, now you want to talk money, do you?
Yeah.
And it kind of, when you look at anyone that's waited out or tried to play that game and take their focus slightly off fighting, you're a fighter first.
Yeah.
You know this. You know what you can do in that world, and that is your world. When you're then being brought in to have aggro about other bits, it almost makes it ugly because if you feel like you're not being treated as fairly or you're not getting what you deserve or whatever, then it just kind of puts a little bit of a shitty stick in the situation, if you know what I mean. Where I think with Ngannou at the minute, he's a bit in that place because, I mean, we watched Fast 9, Fast and Furious 9. Fuck me. Have you seen it? Dude.
I got off the train at about 4, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was we'd watched that many things that she was like, Stacey said, do you fancy a laugh?
Yeah.
We can see Dom and his family.
There's only so many times I can ignore a story just to go, that's a nice car.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I can Google cars all day. It's like boobs. I've got enough time to Google them. I don't need to worry about watching them. So Ngannou's in that. He doesn't talk or anything. He's just in a truck.
Yeah.
And like at the end where they're following him, this truck's following him, and he comes out on this big Gatling gun and sort of kind of gets iced out. Doesn't talk, doesn't say anything, not really credited. And it was similar to the Ronda step over, because if you remember, Ronda stepped over to
Expendables,
Fast and the Furious and Expendables. Mm. But that was a lot of around the time when she was defending against not Holly Holm.
Yeah.
The ones that came before that.
So it was like, it was a bit like Keith Jardine's cameo in Crank 2.
In Crank, dude.
Which and was weird. He was wearing his own t-shirt.
Number one, Dean of Mean. Yeah. And he was like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
Play the game.
So what MMA stars made the best crossover to acting, to movies? Is it Gina Carano?
Gina Carano.
I mean, she was in Mandalorian for a bit until she started talking about the Holocaust or something, didn't she?
Yeah,
she pissed off a bunch of people.
She didn't get filtered, did she?
No.
Bless her. And then she had other people backing her up, which was like, come on now.
Yeah.
They're not. You can't say some of them words.
Whilst taking photos of herself outside the Capitol building.
Yeah. Loving it with their special badges.
That's it.
I don't know. I mean, even you've got Gina Carano that essentially anyone, even from Brock Lesnar era, because if you go from Brock Lesnar, Connor, Ronda, we've got now Ngannou, if you like, whoever. It's obviously John Jones is in there, but it's more the eras that you can define. Gina wasn't necessarily, so she was Strikeforce and she was a ladies champion. So both of those things at a big time was not really anything that anyone was watching.
No.
And there wasn't a massive amount of competition.
She's probably more famous now as an actress than without she was a fighter.
Yeah.
What was the first one she did called Haywire?
Haywire was good. Yeah,
She did Expendables and then Haywire, didn't she?
Yeah.
I think Gina Carano probably wins this question.
Yeah, thing. She did all right. She's done a lot better.
Although Tank Abbott was in Friends.
Yes, he was. And they were in King of Queens.
Mm.
So obviously,
oh, was he really? Oh, yeah, of course, because Kevin James is a big fan. I remember I stayed at Sean Tompkins' house for a few months while he was, I think he was up in Canada getting married. I was kind of house sitting for him in Vegas and training at the Extreme Couture. And he had a whole load of King of Queens. He had the whole series.
Nice.
And then he had photos of him on the wall with him and Kevin James.
With him
James.
And Kevin James, nice.
He was always wearing tap-out shirts in the
Mate,
show, wasn't
in
he?
In the show. So he had...
The good tap-out
clinched,
shirts
sprawl,
before tap-out
tap
was
out,
shit.
All of them, yeah. And it was... is it Mark Delagrotti? Sing Yong Tong.
Yeah.
Is it Sing Yong Tong?
Sit Yod Tong.
Sit Yong Tong. Sit Yod Tong. Yeah,
go.
Well, he was... So they were big buddies, and there was a scene in the CAF when they're downstairs... And it's like the delivery drivers for UPS or whoever he drove for versus these other guys. And basically, it all went a bit blurry. And you got Dan Henderson taking his teeth out, Rampage, Randy. I think there's a few others in there.
Yeah.
But obviously, MMA at the time, he was trying to draw it through, because then he did the Here Comes the Boom. Because Bass is always good. I mean,
he's not been in many movies, though, has he? I mean, he's a very specific
type. He's with Adam Sandler a bit.
He'd have been good as one of the nihilists in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, dude.
You know, the Katavia Johnson guys with the ferret. He'd have done a good job there.
But no one's really made... It's not like anyone's done a Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-mm.
Or like even John Cena. When you watch John Cena, I mean, again, he was in Fast 9 and he was in something else we watched. But when you watch his early movies, they're awful.
Yeah.
But like, there's a definite path that people are
carving
through.
He'd have been a better Captain America, John Cena would.
Oh, he's the right shape. No, yeah. He's the Lego shape. And his hair. John Cena's hair. But it always surprised me how small he is. He's not a tall dude,
is he? Not? No.
No.
Talking of Lego, as you were drawing that, I thought to myself...
What were you getting?
I remember my parents clearing out their loft and going, oh, we found some of your stuff and here's a Lego set. And this has literally been in the cupboard since then. I've not opened it.
Has it ever been opened?
Oh yeah, no, it's been opened and built and played with, and I'll be surprised if, well, first of all, I'll be surprised if all the pieces are there, because I've probably cannibalised it to make other stuff, mostly pirates.
How white will the white be?
Not very. And I wonder whether the face bar of the helmets will be there. So, who's got Google? Who's got internet? Have you got internet? Go on, Mystery.
I'm on
search Lego 6972 and find out what year this came out. What do you reckon? 97?
80... No, that's 80s.
You reckon, yeah.
88. 87.
I wonder if it's all there. I can't see the base for a start. That's not a good sign, is it? And it's been fucking sellotaped back together.
Elaine's done a good job. She's done a good job of preserving
this. I think I might have done this, to be honest.
I believe it's
you. What are you finding, man? Lego 69.
69, 72. I'm saying 80. Between 87 and 89, I think.
I reckon it's newer than that.
No.
I reckon it's like 90.
The helmets changed in 90s. It had the visor and it had the more of a bigger jaw.
Well, we'll see as soon as Mysteries.
Say 88.
Mystery. You can't see through all the cracks on his new on his phone screen.
No, it's when I'm searching it.
So Lego 6972 release date.
You're right spelling Lego. Do you want to?
Have you seen Leppin?
No. So that already sounds awful.
My mate knows that I'm into Lego, and
is it like a false eyes? Oh, it's a false Lego.
He came straight over. He says, "Oh mate, I've got a way to save money on Lego." And I was like, "Well, this seems like a meeting I need to join." And
there's definitely not a base in there, is there?
No.
God damn it.
And it's basically rip-off Lego. I can't deal with it.
That's cool, though.
That's exactly the same.
I want to fill that with chocolate and make a massive chocolate mould.
Dude.
Got some special chocolate. Can make some special chocolate as well. Some space chocolate.
This Benny...
Can make some space chocolate.
We can make space Lego chocolate.
Hey! I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
Sponsored by Shatter Pen. What?
Look at Benny.
Oh, look at him. Mate, I looked after my shit. And it's not like I didn't play with it all the fucking time as well.
All of these.
Are they all complete? Oh, mate.
And
I'm proud of myself. Although I don't know where the base is. That's not good. Go on,
there's a base. There's a base.
Oh, there is a... Oh, my day just gets better and better.
See, moon bases were good until you wanted to build a house. And then you're like, oh, shit. We have to pretend we live in a quarry. Oh, mind you, that could be a 90s piece. That's new. I didn't see that on the box. I'm not going back on my
what's his name's grill, isn't it?
What, Bane or
Bane? Bane. 87, really? This is and I won't say that because she'll be offended.
What?
This is of a good age.
87?
Mate, and it's look how clean it is.
I'm not going to touch any more of it because I'm going to just stain it with green fingers.
Like your seat on the ride along set.
Mate,
we will get back to that at some point.
I'm ashamed of my ride along seat.
Yeah.
It's just covered in shit.
I'm impressed with myself, honestly, genuinely. But I do love those three little men there.
Mate. Well,
what I'll do is I'll put that to one side and build that motherfucker later.
What I was going to tell you about, this was... So the only reason that I linked that to the 80s specifically was because I was four...
Specifically
for our special listeners. my mum and dad had a divorce, or got divorced when I was four, so that would have been 85. And the reason I say that is because when I came downstairs one morning, it must have been my fourth birthday, I had a whole Lego spaceship set, really big.
Really?
And it was like the biggest one you could get. I think it was it was obviously gilt from my parents. And for whatever reason, it was gilt Lego for my birthday.
Gilt Lego still plays the same,
I still got it.
Still plays the same.
I convinced myself, though, and because our hairdresser at the time was at our house, I think she was just there as a bit of like a...
Oh, as a mediator.
A
conflict mediator.
A hairdresser. And I was convinced she'd bought me this Lego.
Fucking stay back.
Exactly. Yeah, stay back. I've got some scissors with that little hook on the loop. And I was convinced she'd bought me this Lego. So the whole... from being that age until being about 15 and thinking... I can remember on the day on my birthday thinking, why didn't my parents buy me anything? Like, they've clearly bought me this set. But because she was there and she'd passed it to me to, like, pacify me, she'd bought me this massive Lego set. And I was like, Mom, if the hairdresser's buying me... I'm on airport. Airplane.
Airport mode.
See, if the hairdresser's buying me this set, why am I getting gypped by my parents?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so...
What's your hairdresser got to be guilty for?
Yeah,
oh,
for real.
Fucking hang on a minute.
Yeah, funny story.
Is there a deep...
Mom.
Oh, what?
Imagine. Yeah, well, I won't be far off. But
did she drive one of them little Suzuki Jeeps?
Imagine, that'd be a nice mom.
Well, no, I'm talking about the hairdresser. That's like...
That's a hairdresser's car. That's
right, it's hairdressers or aerobics.
Okay.
Right, it was one or the other.
If you saw
one of those driving around, it's either got yoga mats and dumbbells in the back... Or scissors and capes.
And those big, that big black bottle and a big white bottle of conditioner and shampoo. You know, one thing from the fucking cash and carry. It's like, do you want me to wash your hair?
It comes in the same bottle as the mayonnaise does when you go to a kebab shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oversized.
Is that garlic mayonnaise? No, this is actually...
This is Tresemme.
It's actually suntan lotion. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so... Well, I always thought it was MX5. MX5... And
nice. Oh no, my mum was an aerobics instructor, and she had an MX5.
Yeah, well, a hairdresser. I can remember that. I used to go to this guy.
She was a hairdresser, but only for me, which is why I look like the mushroom of fucking Mario Kart.
I can do the clip.
Yeah,
I've cut quite a few people's hair, and I'm normally really drunk.
Yeah,
it comes up on my Facebook memories quite often, but I think because I'm a bit mental when it comes to detail. You know when someone is cutting my... I'm following everything they're doing.
Yeah.
Unless I'm falling
asleep.
Learning
it.
Yeah, I'm like, I could do this.
Yeah. I could grow my hair back in this direction.
Yeah, yeah. But
I am a mohawk master.
Yeah, I can believe
it. I can shave your head or I can cut you a mohawk, but anything else I'm...
Yeah, but I'm your own...
Yeah.
Sides.
Yeah.
But do you not... Is it not... It's like when you try to wipe your bum with your left hand. Have you ever tried that? I know this is weird.
I don't think so.
You try it. My dad hurt his right arm when we were trialing. And yeah, he's using his arm. He's got a bidet. And he came downstairs fuming. And this is one of them typical dad things where they like walk in and go, you ever tried to wipe your ass with your left hand? And it's like, have you just been for a poo, have you, dad? You should have shouted. And because he'd hurt, I can't remember if he'd hurt his back or his arm, but he had to use his left hand. He says, bloody hell. I can't do that. We're going to eat soup for the rest of the like 6 months. So I always, when you try and do something the opposite hand,
yeah,
it's like when you're drawing. You know,
brushing your teeth feels real weird. I remember I have spent days where I've gone, no, I'm going to brush my teeth with my opposite hand today.
Yeah.
Or like try and write something with the opposite hand. Dude, it's no good.
I found myself, I nearly wrote this in my phone the other day. Do you close your eyes when you brush your teeth?
No.
I often close my eyes. I don't know why.
Yeah. Do you spin them inside so you can see what's going on?
Yeah, just checking out the molars.
You're looking down onto you.
Are you cleaning these properly, young man?
Here's another question for you.
Go on.
When you're brushing your teeth, do you leave the tap running?
No.
Then have a fucking word with Ollie next time you see him. Can you imagine that?
What, he leaves it running?
He leaves it running.
Why though? You don't need...
And Anna comes in and turns it off and then he gives Anna shit for it.
No, it's only to wet the... It's only to wet the...
Exactly.
Teeth.
Wet it, turn it off, and then you brush your teeth. And then you turn it back on.
Rinse it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And if you're a kid...
Don't leave it running.
No.
The fuck?
No. But the main thing
is... waterfall.
You've got to get enough water on that old toothpaste and mouth gunk that when a kid twats it on the side of the sink thinking they're doing the right thing, cleaning their brush, I'm not kidding. I could go CSI blood spatter expert within fucking days because our blinds, it looks like a bukkake party. gone wrong. I swear to God, they just like, hey, Dad, brush my teeth. Bang, 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 bang. I'm like, whoa. Just, the fuck? Under the tap, kid. I don't know. But no, I can't. Our tap, we've got one of those fancy waterfall taps.
You have.
But if you put it on nice. Too fast...
It's so you can see the water before it falls off the edge. Exactly. It's a bit exciting.
And then
you want to see a little canoe come out.
That's what I want to see. Just float some... Yeah. Well, how old is too old to have Lego toys and different toys in the bath? Because I could still play.
I think I would struggle to find a room in this house that doesn't have Lego in it somewhere.
There you go.
The gym doesn't have Lego in it. But that's only because my fucking thing fell off the wall. Which driving thing? Back the other day from the expo, and all of a sudden I got a notification on my phone. There was a big fucking crash in the house. So I pulled up the camera system and I heard this thing, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like 20 minutes away from home, like, ease onto the acceleration a little bit. I'm like, fucking change my shoes. Inside joke. We'll explain another time. And what had happened was, I had a Rocky Lego figure in a frame, like a glass box, up on the wall, and it just decided to fucking leap off the wall and headbutt the Airdyne. So now,
ooh,
I have no Lego in the gym, so I've got to figure out another way of getting my Rocky Lego figure up on the wall again.
Did you do one of those sticky hooks?
I did. No, I did. No, I did command strips, but then
saying the brand doesn't help.
Mate, don't talk shit on command strips, because fucking everything in here will fall down.
Mate, this is my thing. That's why screws and nails have been around for a fucking long time.
Do you like how I've used the giant stamps that you ordered?
I do like, they kind of remind me of an early fuck up.
Grab one off the wall for us.
Do you want me to get one of the stamps that are for our coffee bags?
Grab that near side one. It should peel off because it's only on a command. Oh shit, Mystery's going to start kicking the fuck out of everything again.
So
calm it down, Mystery.
So
he's got his Bellator top on. He's done legs today. He's feeding feisty. Yeah, that one. Just pull that off the wall there.
So
put it back in
just
a bit.
To
there we go.
Bring a little bit of context. I was, when we started...
Just to bring a little bit of context. For scale.
Fucking hell.
And if you've ever received a package from Full Reptile, you will know that sometimes there are stamps on things.
Yeah, we stamp a lot of stuff.
Not this kind of size stamp.
No, it's a bit too big. No, I didn't have a roller tray big enough to put a fucking stamp in. So I was in charge initially, still am.
I was in charge.
I was just in charge.
Was.
And when we're doing the coffee bags, there was a massive deliberation over how we design these bags. How much information we put on these bags.
Yep.
And I had...
Eco-friendly as well. We didn't want them getting printed and all that kind of
plastic,
stuff.
No plastic, no stickers.
Recyclable.
And anyone who had the first 100 would have had a plastic bag with two stickers on.
First 100 seems like a long time ago.
It does. And I've still got one of the bags. Stacey's mum's got it because you wrote a message to her. She thinks. So we've... She doesn't listen to this. There's far too much gossip and penis talk and wiping bums. So... When we got the coffee bags, I was driving back from an event and I said to Dan, why don't we just stamp them? So if we can get a craft paper bag, we'll stamp it. We'll get a black bag and we can stamp it, because Dan had this gold stamp that we did for the swing tags, which I need to mention in a sec. Don't let me forget. Ooh. So because Helen makes these stamps for me, lovely Helen, and she's always been super helpful and really nice. And the amount of stamps we've got over the time has been a lot.
A lot.
So
we have a good collection of stamps
up there.
Not like these three though.
No.
And we have three as well.
And it was one of them things that I used to order, and occasionally Dan would nip to our house, normally on a Thursday. He would get the kids riled up and we'd do some orders and whatnot, and that was all good. So the day comes when I get a knock at the door, and like a really giddy child, I ran to the door. I was like, oh, Dan, you get to open this box, my friend. And passed him these stamps. Now, bear in mind, we'd sold probably 10 things after the first 100. Yeah. So, like, there wasn't a lot.
No.
And I basically watched Dan's face go from being excited to then trying to manage how not to lose his mind and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Wasting. I don't even want to think how much they were. But they should have been 70 mil.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're not even a version of 70 that I could fit into how it got that fucking wrong.
Because you type the number into inches instead of millimetres.
So you imagine stamping a bag. So
you had to make a tray for ink. So
Even the ink to buy the tray was something like... I can't say because Wad will tell me off.
The best thing about it was your face.
I was devastated.
The best thing about it was your face. When I'd opened the box and I lifted one of these out and I'm like... That quote was a bit high for these.
What are these for, dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still stamping four bags at a time.
Decorating your fucking house with them.
So then Dan took them outside and we had the mannequin boxes on our yard. And the kids, Dan was telling the girls about, was it a time that you were inebriated with something, painting your body as a butterfly?
That doesn't sound like me.
They remember really well exactly what it was.
I actually have a photo on my phone.
Yeah, because they were like, Dan said it's okay. And so from then on now, yeah, whenever it's something a bit sketchy, Dan said it's okay.
Okay. Well, okay. So then when this podcast goes live, I'll tweet that photo.
Oh, dude.
And I'll probably tell a story about it next time around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were well into it. And I think
I'd
that was
a cactus.
It was an edited version of the cactus eating. Yeah. That they were, because Moo's got cactus in her bedroom. And
not this kind.
No, not at all. But very quickly then, going on to swing tags. I need to do this quick while it's in my brain.
Oh, do you? And then we've got a list of events.
We've got structure. Good.
We've got no structure.
No, not at all.
This has been all arse backwards. You've got a swing tag thing to say.
Yes. There. So I've been very, very, very proud of our swing tags.
Yeah.
I love our swing tags.
Love them.
It's something, fine detail on garments and shit like that, I love. I don't care where I'm buying from, but I save everything. So boxes, stickers, labels, badges. I know a lot of people, like Ollie, the clown, I gave him a pair of socks once. He literally took the packaging out, scrunched it up, threw it to one side. But was loving the socks.
Yeah.
But
I always loved them to holes in them.
Yeah. But I couldn't get past the fact he just dashed his thing away. So swing tags can be expensive and there's a lot of elements to it of waste and landfill and all this horrible shit. So we basically used to buy the cards as an oblong, a circle, then we'd stamp them both. You have to let them dry because it's metallic ink. Biodegradable metallic ink.
Cool.
Then we'd have to cut the string them up, put the pins in. And obviously my kids would help, people would help. And it got to the point this time where we've done this new drop where the amount of time and energy and effort that goes into this little thing that means a lot to me, I kind of felt really backwards because I take a lot of time and care to find biodegradable bags. All the bubble wrap and things that we use is recycled because my best friend from nursery, his office is next door to mine, Lennox IT. If you need anything IT-wise, he's the man. But they get so much equipment with air pockets, packing peanuts, bubble wrap.
You've got a whole room full of it.
I can Scrooge McDuck through that motherfucker. So for me, it's really important. It's not like it's got Hep C on it or anything. It's just clean, all good, use that again. And I don't want to be wasting stuff.
Yeah.
So got to the point of looking at the new drop and I've got all these cool badges. And I just started thinking, look.
New drop.
I've not got anything else on other than this.
I'll just casually sit like this. Or you can carry on and I'll just
turn around, just briefly look at the comics. So what people might have noticed is all the new stuff is still coming bagged and in pre-packing bags. Yeah. So they're nice for gifts. But we've removed the swing tags.
Gone.
Just because...
Streamlined
for
shit.
For every
cut
mental
down waste.
Twat like me that wants to save it, you should have one now. If you really want one, let me know. I've still got a few left. But at the same time, you're getting bottom badges.
Yeah, yeah.
So my bottom badge game now increased tenfold.
See, this is what happened is we figured out how to cut down on swing tags and string and clips and stuff. And Owen's like...
Daft waste.
I don't know. I could take that money I was spending on that and make pin badges.
Exactly.
So well, now how many fucking thousand have we got arriving?
There's 900 landing tomorrow.
So now the room that's got bubble wrap in it, you're going to empty all the bubble wrap
one
out.
One small box.
Oh, just one small box, is it? You can't fill a room with it. You can't Scrooge McDuck
I'm going to need some... Oh, mate, that's going to come keen.
Could you fill a bathtub?
Yes. We're going to have a Lego bath and a scratchy pin bath.
A Lego bath. Yeah.
Okay. But... the difference is there's at the minute, I think I've got five. So when people are ordering stuff, they're getting a few badges, stickers, same sort of thing. I just didn't want people to start opening stuff and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So at least.
I always think, where the fuck's the swing tag when I got a t-shirt?
Mate, I would.
I'm like, what? There's no swing tag.
Well, I was talking to one of our customers and he was a really cool guy, basically, but used the new website. It was slightly different to the old one. I had a couple of questions. So he messaged me. So I gave him a ring and he was telling me, because he wanted, we've taken the sticker packs off as well, very briefly, because I was having to try and remember what I'd sent people.
Yeah.
And it was just cooking my fucking brain. So we've now got
the game as well, aren't
we? Yeah, we've got some specific sticker packs that you know you're going to get and you can buy them. But I was talking and if you remember, that, is it Napriji? Napapurij?
Mate, I
How
do.
How do you say it?
I think it's Napapuri.
Napapuri, okay.
But I think someone's going to correct us still.
No, to go back, you gifted me a wonderful jacket, one of the nice big skidoos, and it was ridiculously expensive for a jacket. And it was after we did the first 100, and it was like a welcome to the collective kind of gift and thank you and all the rest of it, is how I read it. But I got this jacket, and because it was so expensive, I was expecting it to turn up, cook me dinner, put the kids to bed, like above and beyond singing and dancing. And it didn't. It was from a really fancy website, not from them specifically, but there was no stickers.
Yeah.
There was nothing for how much it was. What is that noise?
Is that the neighbour?
Yes.
Is it?
It's not like...
It's nice. Yeah. Well, look, if you listen to the Pix podcast, you already know that the house next door is being renovated. And I appreciate power tools. I don't, like, I'm like, look, you've got a job to do, get the job done.
Yeah.
Absolutely crack on. He's not going to be doing it forever. That's fine.
Doesn't need to be left on, though.
The fucking music, though.
What My music God. Is it?
When he was listening to Smooth FM earlier.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, like, I'm trying to, I'm like, deadlifting. I'm in the fucking zone. I'm thinking about the instructional that I'm working on, and then I'm trying to absorb a Lex Friedman podcast at the same time, yeah. And then I'm hearing... Cheerio, no, it wasn't that song because I would have opened the window and told him to crank it.
Do you know what
it
been
was?
Worse?
Something shit.
It's that advert that goes right now at such and such junction. Right now, this fucking guy. If I could find him,
I don't do radio anymore.
I can't.
I just don't do it.
Someone ruined it for me at Egg, and they said to me, "I don't know. I can listen to radio with adverts," and I had never, ever, ever given it a second thought before. And then, as soon as he turned that on in my brain, so if I've done that to anyone else, I'm really sorry. I cannot listen to radio with adverts.
I can't do radio.
Because I was even talking to Stace. We're driving somewhere the other day and she always has the radio on. I was like, have you ever been driving and listened and heard like a Tampax advert and thought, best buy some?
Yeah.
Or are you going to get that shit anyway?
No, never.
Like, there's no point for that.
What was the one that always had the fucking really awful jingles that was always on like Trent FM in Nottingham? Was it Cold Seal Windows?
Yeah, any window company. Stay like Bright, Safe Style.
A what?
Ilkeston Co-op and Travel.
Oh, yeah. Ilkeston Co-op. Gonna fucking get you there. Yeah, I bet they don't. I bet they don't anymore.
No.
I bet they don't anymore.
You only get a third of your money back.
How much road rage did those Cold Seal Windows ads trigger?
All of it.
Because I always wanted to drive into the person in front
All
of me.
All of it.
As soon as there was a new jingle and you know what they were doing. It's like when you're walking around a casino and you're looking at the signs, you're like, I know you're diverting me to the next load of slot machines instead of the exit. Like, it was like that kind of thing. Like, I know you've made this fucking jingle, so it sticks in my subconscious, and as soon as my alarm goes off in the morning, it's the first thing that I'm singing.
Horrible.
Hate it.
Yeah. But that's why, when we used to listen to podcasts at work, it would be Joe Rogan and Bill Burr were first.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Burr, like Joe Rogan, I can pretty much guarantee the reads are probably 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So I always like to think, like, when I've listened to your two's introduction to this, it reminds me more of the Bill Burr thing because there's a bit of energy in it and it's a bit of like, you can have a bit of a laugh with it. Whereas Bill Burr will just laugh and rip the shit out of all the, like chocolate covered strawberries. Someone was asking him to do that read and mate, the fucking reads he was doing with gold. But you never skipped it.
Yeah.
Because it was interesting. It's part of his life. So there's a way of doing it.
Yeah, for
I think. I just don't know who's got a studio now making shit jingles that is like, his calendar is stacked out with shit window companies that want to be an earworm to fuck someone's day up that wants to then commit road rage.
Just waiting for the phone to ring. So Go Compare gives them a call and gives them.
Oh, don't worry. I've got this big idea about some fucking prick with a wavy moustache. And not only have we got that now, we've got the same dude who's laughing at the fact that that's such a shit idea.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know, they're laughing at you.
Yeah.
They're laughing at you now. And they're poking fun at you because they're laughing at you, laughing at...
And we remember the name.
The problem with radio, right, because I did some Sirius XM stuff a couple of years back, and the problem is they assume that each listener is going to tune in for about 15 minutes and then tune out. So you have to keep resetting the show every sort of 15 or 20 minutes. You're like, hi, welcome back to the show. And so you end up saying your name like 15 times in a couple of hours.
And if you listen to that hour,
and the same adverts come up. It's like it's like the commentary, isn't it? Like as soon as you see a pop up comment, you know the fucking read before it happens.
Yeah, but you know? When it's DC and yeah,
they were Cruise, arguing,
I loved it. It wasn't a sweep. Yeah, it was. That sounded like my kids in the back of the car.
I love it. Yeah, it was.
Dude,
and Anik sitting in the front seat going, just stop it, will you?
Yeah,
both of you.
Yeah. But it's for Anik, it's not the kids in the back. It's the two cool kids that he wants to be a part of, but he doesn't want to tell them off too bad because he still wants to be number three in the three-tier triangle. And he's like, normally he'd swing around and just slap them.
Yeah.
Whereas he's like, please, lads, I agree with you both, but then looking at one, I'm like, I know. He's like this.
It just kept coming back up though. It was like, still want a sweep though.
But it wasn't even Bisping.
Just want a sweep, still want a sweep.
But I can't imagine.
It was a sweep, still want a sweep.
Yeah. How was no one saying,
shut the fuck up, yeah. Lads.
Shut the Can we not just get a Corn Nuts? Can we not get like old fucking Goldberg's reads from Corn Nuts and Mickey's Malt Liquor or whatever it was that he used to do?
Yeah.
Footlong sandwiches. Yeah.
A jiu-jitsu sweep or a wrestling takedown? Virtually identical.
Yeah. And a picture of like Rampage and Randy. Well, mate, even with that,
What do you reckon the DC falling out with Connor? Have you seen that?
I kind of like it.
Connor calling him a mess.
I kind of like it because the problem is, as much as Connor's way off the rails and kind of losing it, I think it's one of them that he's almost, while ever he's not online, he's gaining a bit of his reality back.
Yeah.
But then he's like Frodo with the ring. He exposes himself to it for a second and it does like 10 years worth of damage. But then if he has a couple of days off, he's all right. But I don't understand tweet and delete.
Yeah.
Stand by it.
Yeah, as soon as it happens, someone, especially if you've got a habit of deleting tweets, as soon as it pops up, someone screenshotted it.
Yeah. Just delete Twitter.
Yeah.
Because
I saw that, what's his name? Gilbert Burns said that he wants his Twitter back because he's going to stop trash talking Leon. Did you see it? Insinuating that Ali was doing all the trash talking from his Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah. You've got to wonder how much of that's going on, though. I mean, the thing is, somebody else has got the login details to McGregor's Twitter.
100%.
And as soon as something pops up, they get a notification on another phone and they go, oh, fucking hell, I better delete that. But someone's acting as his safety net, you know what I mean?
It's got to
be. But then it's only his tweets, really, that make it seem like he's kind of like losing his mind a little bit. Because like his photos, he's like out for Dee's birthday, and you know he's doing pull-ups in the gym with his cast on, and he's out for brunch,
recovery on his leg.
He's having a lovely time.
It's almost that two-faced thing of like,
yeah. It might be Ali Abdul Aziz is locked in.
That's what I'm saying. He's got his normality, which you can feel that. Oh, we've got Connor back.
Yeah,
but then. Like Venom, how many other references I can make, I don't know. But like Venom just pops out a little bit and goes, oh, you're a cunt. What?
Yeah.
Did I just call you a cunt? I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Did a big black monster come out of my arm and just start chatting shit? But it's...
Have you seen the Lego masks, the Venom masks?
Yes.
They're pretty cool, aren't
they? Yeah, I love them.
Although they're a lot smaller than I thought they would be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I get this curtain up...
I thought they were going to be good...
No, they're not. They're not. They're like that.
They're like the Star Wars one.
Yeah, the Star Wars ones are pretty cool though still. Yeah. So I've done the Boba Fett one, but I have Darth Vader, the Scout, the Stormtrooper, and the TIE Fighter to do.
Okay.
So when I get this backdrop up, we're gonna do a build, aren't we? A time lapse build, a nerd build.
Oh, dude! Someone did that. One of our followers did that. Was it Kieran? Whoever it was, he got a Star Wars Boba Fett helmet.
Yeah.
For one of his birthdays or Father's Day or something, and he did it. I can't remember who it was. It might not be Kieran, but there'll be one of the lads that'll tag me. They did it and it was wicked.
Wicked.
But
yeah.
What do you think Connor gains from pointing at DC? Because if DC was drunk...
Yeah. I just think it's friction. I think it's friction and aggravation and, you know, he's provoking, he's staying in the media. Like every time you open Instagram, there's something with Connor McGregor on it.
But it's almost too hard. Like back in the day when he'd do it, it was like a sly, discreet little backhand that you're like, I like that. Whereas, you know, when he was on about COVID with Khabib's dad?
Yeah.
It felt a bit dirty.
But then are we living in an age where that's what people need to do to keep getting that attention? I mean, he can't keep calling people out in the division, especially because he's coming off losses now.
Yeah. To go for DC, I mean, the problem is anyone who's watching DC, like, he feels kind of protected. There's certain fighters that I feel... When you see that, obviously Connor throwing a dolly through a bus window, like there's certain people that
I'd have gotten fired for that, you know.
I think majority would.
I'd have gotten fired for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have gotten away with it. Nah, probably.
What, wouldn't. Throwing a dolly through the window?
Yeah.
What, pre-Herb?
No, I don't think I'd have gotten away with that, do you?
I don't know many people that would have.
No.
I don't think many people.
I wonder who let him in the building. I know Let Him in the Building.
Do you know? Is that in the second book?
I know Let Him in the Building. It might be in the second book.
Oh, no.
It's Tower 7 all over again. Oh, my goodness.
Can we call the next book Tower 7? Tower 7, I know, Let Him In.
No,
we'll get a few more sales.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he's going with it. It kind of bums me out because he's got quite a lot of potential with being witty.
Yeah.
I've always said he is just banter sense of humour. So I know that a lot of people lose their mind over some of his one-liners.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time it's his off-the-cuff remarks that are just him that can take from.
But then, like, there is like banter. Banter can come from two places, and depending on the tone of the banter, you can tell where the person's mindset is who's given the banter.
Okay.
Like early on, his banter was like, you know, wrestle my balls on your forehead and all that kind of stuff, and it was like he was laughing with it and he was having fun with it, and even when he was getting inside Aldo's head.
Squeezing his shoulders.
Yeah, it was like stealing the belt and like talking about riding into the favelas on his horse and, you know, all that kind of shit. It was like poking fun at the whole thing and having a laugh in the process. And then it's kind of soured.
That's the thing.
Right? You know what I mean? But
that...
it's the same energy to provoke is still there, but now the energy behind it's venomous as opposed to comedic.
Yeah. It's just a bit dirty. You know? Like there's certain elements that you don't drop into or you don't need to hit because... For me, it's like I've got a mate who's a big lad, and if anyone ever calls him a fat prick, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
Like if you call me a little shit,
easy.
Or like, yeah, exactly.
If it's too
easy, you can't do it,
uh-huh.
And you can't get a laugh. If you take the shot that's the easy shot, you're not going to get any benefit from it because it's an easy shot. You need to. That's why it's nice to watch someone sometimes, and they hang themselves because they give you a bit of something that you're like, oh yeah, you're into that.
Yeah.
Like when Ross Edgley was here and he had odd socks on.
Yeah.
Like Ross Edgley.
Yeah, you fucking jumped on him.
Of course I did.
Dude, the dude swam around England. It took him 158 days. Nice one on the swim.
Yeah.
Odd socks, mate.
How
your odd
socks looking? There you go. Because he...
Like, lift you up. Well done. Well done for swimming around the UK. Odd socks.
But then that's funny to me.
It's like, I've not got odd socks on.
No, I'm cool.
Can't swim around England.
I managed
Can't
to get dressed myself today. I don't know, I haven't tried.
But I don't have odd socks.
But that, for me, that's the type of thing that you look at. You've got to find something that's a little bit different rather than just going, you're a big cunt.
Yeah.
Because he is. Do you know what I mean? But that's not funny.
Yeah.
Because he's built like a Dorito. It doesn't mean that it makes like comedy listening.
Yeah.
So.
It's like, well done on that gold medal at long jump. You got sand all over your shoes.
Yeah. Oh my God. You got sand in my chips. You're mad. Playing in a sandpit.
Have you been watching any of the Olympics?
I watched bits, yeah.
I've literally not seen anything.
I've not
seen anything.
I like the tilt at the minute between old daft shit that has been around forever, that is like, that's a thing that we recognise and is actually a sport. And then you've got BMX and skateboarding.
Stuff that was like, that was the kind of stuff that you skive school to do.
Exactly.
I should have skipped school more.
It's
fucking fuck?
Sick.
We're going to have esports in here soon. And I'm like, I should have definitely stuck with GoldenEye.
Mate, imagine. If I could have done esports back in the day, I wasn't allowed to
what
even
be
have
your game?
Music on.
What would be your game? If you were entering the Olympics, what would be your game?
Mario Kart on the SNES.
Yeah.
I'd take you on that. Street Fighter 2 original on Mega Drive or SNES or arcade.
Mm.
I was untouchable on that. Not so much Mortal Kombat, but Street Fighter, tried that locked.
See, I think Mortal Kombat might have been mine, you know.
Yeah.
Like the flat 2D one as well. Yeah. I don't need to be moving around them.
Mortal Kombat 1 or 2.
Mm.
Reptile came in at 3, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was Liu Kang. That was my guy.
Liu Kang. Liu Kang.
Wounds.
Fatality.
Yeah.
When he goes flying across the street.
Yeah, the cycle kick.
Amazing.
I did like, was he called Baraka? He had like, he was like a hunch and he had like a rock to him. He was like,
is that the one with the hat on?
Yeah. No. Bought like a bald head and like blades or something. He was a bit
of a like ghoul.
A bit of an experiment, wasn't
he? Yeah, like a long face, a ghoulish face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird how you can remember names and shit like that. I can list you the whole catalogue of Street Fighter names, where they're from, plus in when you went into Turbo, and then when you got the new one. My brain is full of daft shit.
Full of shit.
That I just don't need
to
remember.
It's like a 1990s storage.
Yeah.
It's like information.
Mate,
if that's they ever do a 1990 Stories Wars, your brain's getting fucking raided.
Yeah, mate, I'd love that.
Should we have a look at these?
Yeah, go on.
How long have we been going here, mystery?
10 minutes.
An hour.
Is it an hour? Yeah.
We haven't been an hour. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, isn't
it? Talking about swing tags.
Okay.
I fucking love this, aren't they?
Okay, I only put it out an hour ago. I only put it out when we start recording. I could have just checked that, couldn't I? We've been recording an hour. So we've had 24 replies. I probably won't read all of them, but I'll read a few out and you can keep a couple in mind.
Go
and,
on.
And so anyway, someone's gone proper deep. WEC48.
Mm. Aldo and Faber.
Aldo and Faber, yeah. Fucking hell, he's Vault Brain.
I'll take that all
day. Pickett, Mighty Mouse. Benson Ooh. And Cowboy. That was a fucking good event, that
was.
Gambier and Brown.
Was it Benson Cowboy 2?
I don't know.
Because Benson Cowboy 1 was Fight of the Year the year before, because the second one was really quick because he got caught in a guillotine.
Mm, I don't know.
And that's before Cowboy then won one back in UFC.
I have my laptop
UFC.
Here. When we settle on an event,
sorry,
I'll pull it up.
Yeah,
no, you're all
good.
You're all good.
It's Blue Gloves.
I was just getting a bit... I will give him a shout out. That was Chris Ganach. Ganach. One thing I will say, though, is he didn't write Pettis. He wrote Petits.
Ah.
So, you know.
Petits?
I mean, it was a good suggestion, but Petits.
I've got a good story about Petit, and I will tell you afterwards.
Will you really?
I will.
Won't have swimming around the UK, Ross Edgley. Yeah. Odd socks.
What a pair of socks.
Olowski Fedor. Was that? That was
Affliction.
Of course
two.
It was. I don't think there were more than that, were
First
there?
One was Tim Sylvia
fucking
and...
Fast and Fader. Furious had more success than...
Oh, mate. Fucking Triple X had more success. Josh Barnett.
I didn't mind that, you know.
Yeah, but if they'd have made 37 like they did
with
James
Bond...
Well,
that's
Bond,
it. That's
go,
it. You've got to know when to cut
that?
Out. You,
yeah.
You can't keep rinsing this story over and over again.
Like
know?
James Bond.
Ultimate Fighter Finale, Bonner Griffin. I should start
one.
Keeping a list of these because... Well, it was the finale
the
when they,
okay,
when they
yeah.
banged shit out of each other. UFC 75, champ versus champ was a good one. 205.
Rampage and Dan Anderson, that? That was in London. I've got the t-shirt.
75 was?
Yeah.
85 was London as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pride Middleweight Grand Prix, we could talk about that all day. UFC 105, good pick. James Morgan, that Dare Drop Markham was another good one.
Oh, that was a nut, yeah.
Pride Final Conflict 2005. I have that poster and Pride 33, which Gary Hope suggested, which is in there. UFC 1's a good shout. UFC 100, we touched on that, didn't we?
It was disappointing a bit.
A little bit. It was built up to be
yeah.
to be something. Then did that, the mustard canvas.
That was 200.
Yeah. Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. No, UFC 100. Was that
Bisping getting spannered and was it Alves, Hughes?
Was it
no, Alves.
Was the main event not Randy and...
It was Bisping and...
Oh, for fuck's sake, brain.
It was was it Randy against Gonzaga? Because I don't think it was Randy. No, it wasn't Randy Gonzaga.
Was Brock not on 100?
Well, against Mir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank Mir, Brock 2.
Brock, if you were making a He-Man movie and you needed someone for Ram-Man, Brock Lesnar's your guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
You remember Ram-Man?
Yeah.
One, the little... Like,
the worst
yeah.
figure you could buy.
Or if you were looking for... if you were making a Second World War movie and you needed like an experimental Aryan soldier.
Yes.
Brock's your guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the top of his head is actually flat.
It's definitely
I think he
flat.
Grew to a point and hit the ceiling and just top of his head's flat now.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
How the fuck
Grim
is he
in a
that
box.
Big? He's, yeah, like when he eats moose. Grows square watermelons.
Because he eats moose.
Is he still with Sable?
Who?
She was a wrestler.
Oh, was she, oh, was she one of the... I don't know.
She's like the know. Original... She's the original lady wrestler, wasn't she?
Okay. UFC... Sable. What's going on here? UFC 100.
Go
main
on.
Card. So, main event was John Fitch, Paolo Thiago. Oh, no. This is in the wrong order. That's his main event, John Fitch, Paolo Thiago.
Definitely not.
Not at all. Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir.
Yeah.
Welterweight title bout, GSP, Thiago Alves.
Alves,
was a
that's
fucking
it. Sorry,
great
Hughes.
Bout.
Yeah, good fight.
Yeah.
And then Bisping against Henderson.
Was it?
I'm sure what, it was. I'm sure what? That's where Bisping got bingoed.
It was. It was, yeah.
Because
so,
they had
yeah.
a coin set. You could get coins of all the fighters
yeah.
leading up
Bisping
to one.
Bisping never stopped spinning.
No. No. No, he's still going. Dan Anderson just comes past and jumps on it. I'll make a logo out of that.
Yeah. So Akiyama, Alan Belcher opened the card.
Yes.
John Fitch, Paolo Thiago, Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping. I was sitting next to Bisping's dad here on the over the beach at the Mandalay Bay.
Oh, really?
We had like a VIP viewing party because they had a big screen up over the water at Mandalay Bay. And when Bisping went down, the whole fucking beach went up, drinks and everything.
And you and him sat there.
And his dad just sat.
Mate, the trouble was, Bisping, he wasn't looking too bad.
Fucking Mark Coleman was the last fight on the prelims.
Wait, Mark Coleman?
Go on.
Was against Forrest?
Oh, no, almost. Hold it.
I know it is.
Go on.
Is it the guy
You don't know who it is, or you said it already?
Mark
you
Coleman.
You said Forrest, and that's wrong.
I said Forrest.
You said Forrest.
Because they both... Wrong. He came out looking like a lobster, didn't he? He came out bright pink, and yeah. Forrest was like, if I touch you, I'm going to die.
Like he'd been holding his breath for 10 minutes.
Didn't I know who it is?
You don't.
I do.
You don't, otherwise you'd have said it.
It's not Brandon Vera.
No, it's not. And when I say it, you're going to be really annoyed with yourself.
I am going to be really annoyed.
Especially because you said Forrest first.
Yeah. Stefan.
Yeah. Stefan Bonner. But you're not going to believe who the fight before that was.
Didn't Coleman win that?
Hang on. Yes, he did. He won by decision. He won by decision. Yeah.
Hit him with his trophy.
Okay. It's a fucking mad card if you think back at it. So... Shannon Gugarty, Matt Grice, first fight on the card. Tom Lawler, CB Dolloway was up next. Filthy Tom Lawler.
These walkouts were better than his fights.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Don Young Kim, TJ Grant, Jim Millard, Mac Danzig.
That's a good fight.
Right? Now, there's one other fight before we get to the last fight on the prelims, which was Mark Coleman, Stefan Bonner. It's the only fight we've not mentioned on the card.
Okay.
It was a soon-to-be champion... Who was on his way up through the division?
John Jones versus.
Go on. There's no way you're getting Matt Hamill. I didn't even remember this motherfucker's name.
One minute. How did he win?
He modified guillotine. It's also not a cheater, of course.
No. So John Jones.
How many fights did this guy have in the UFC?
John Jones, because everyone who fought Bader then got a title shot, if you remember, and that's when. John Jones beat Bader to get the title shot against Shogun to win and become the youngest champ, yeah? So before that, he'd already fought... Oh, man. Pre-champ?
I'm going to see whereabouts in his UFC career it was, because it was really early.
I'm about to say, that is early, because he's essentially been champ, because it was Matt Hamill, Ryan Bader, that's two...
Yeah, no, it was his third fight in the organization before his DQ loss to Matt Hamill.
Okay.
No chance of getting this.
White guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm more conscious about the time that's ticking away that that it's going to twist my brain. Go on.
Jake O'Brien. Right?
No.
No, I think it's the only person on his record I don't recognize the name of. Weird. Anyway.
But big card.
Yeah, oh, massive card. Pride 26. Oh, that is what I like to see. Well done, Liam O'Brien. Oh, he's an O'Brien as well. There's something weird going on.
Maybe it's him.
Right?
It's his mate.
Liam O'Brien, Pride 26, bad to the bone. I have got this poster in there as well. All the best ones are coming out. Was absolutely stacked in retrospect. Would love to hear your takes on a few of these guys. Okay.
I've got to rewatch more Pride.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as accessible to me. Lee Burkett used to bring DVDs in, and he would often bring in, he was the one flying the Pride flag before it was popular. So he was all about Pride.
Different kind of Pride.
Yeah, slightly.
Different kind of Pride.
It's aggressive. Slightly different. So
let's just pause there. I'm just going to quick run out and then I'll be back.
You get what you need to get.
Yeah.
What was your first event that you watched?
Yeah, Mr. You can sit.
Jump in.
Do I play with the Lego though?
No. Okay. The water is fine. What are you saying? What's your era? What was your era that you dropped into MMA?
To be honest, around McGregor Mendes.
Oh, okay. So back end of Brock, far, and then early into Conor about to destroy Aldo and take over the world.
Yeah. The first UFC I ever went to was 204.
Okay.
Hendo Bisping 2.
Wow. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Who were you going in for? Bisping?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. There was some real good fights on that card. I can't remember who the co-main was now.
Where was it based?
Manchester.
I went to 70, which Manchester was Bisping against Elvis Sinisich.
The weird thing about that event was it was on American time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so you'd turn up at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
in the middle of Manchester when everyone's shutting down.
Yeah. It feels weird, right?
Yeah, it was really weird.
So when you jumped in and you got a Connor baptism, were you straight on the Connor train?
Yeah, I guess I was.
Did you understand or appreciate who Aldo was before he did the unthinkable?
Not initially, no, but I learnt it before they fought.
Okay.
For sure, yeah.
That build-up was amazing, yeah, wasn't it? Just the amount of content you had.
I went back and watched all the Aldo stuff.
It's wicked, right? Yeah. But did you watch Aldo this weekend?
Yeah. Looked really good.
Mate.
He's throwing leg kicks again.
You know when you saw him, someone said you were at WEC, it was Aldo against Faber.
When he battered his leg.
Faber got carried back to the stall after, I think, round three. And Aldo was relentless.
Yeah.
But I think when you consider how old he is now, he's been going for far too long already. I think that's why he looks exhausted.
Yeah.
But he performed amazing.
It catches me out as well because I expect Aldo to be about 42.
Yeah.
He's super young.
He's way younger. He's younger than me. But how fast he looked on Saturday, mate. He looked unstoppable. Yeah. And I'd love to see that Connor rematch now because there's enough of a... Like, Aldo's done more than enough to justify it. But then you've got someone like Connor who's basically looking for a dance partner.
They've been giving each other a few Twitter kisses as well, haven't
they? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm always...
Weight classes, though, now. Which one would you do? Meet back at 45?
Car park. Fuck them. Don't care. I don't care. I just want to see that fight. It's like DC against Connor. I'd watch it.
I think they're too far apart now.
Do you think?
Like weight-wise.
Well, what if Connor had to go to Aldo's weight?
I don't think I think he'd struggle now getting to 145.
Yeah, he could cut off his gammy leg, though.
Yeah.
he could do that,
cut off his ego. how heavy is that? Weighty. Triple C.
I don't know if I'd be that interested in seeing Aldo McGregor too.
I was always more curious to think what would happen if it went a bit longer.
I was as well. Like, but at that time.
Oh, at that time, phenomenal. Like, as much as I have...
Now it would feel like going to watch Rage Against the Machine in concert.
Watching off a song. A
few of the band members have left.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it feels like.
Don't start shit-talking Rage Against the Machine.
Nah, I'm not.
Nah.
But I went to go see them at Download, and it obviously wasn't the same.
Who was not there then? Fuck. Do you know what? I don't know who was not there. Zach was there, which was the drummer.
You know, oh, with the tattoo?
Yeah.
That's a mad tattoo, isn't it?
That was the first time I ever saw
like black work. Ain't
he just black work?
Yeah, he's got like two symbols there.
Aren't they Borneo
the
roses?
I think so, yeah.
Don't know. Well,
look at this one, eh?
Flexing.
So
we were just talking about Aldo.
Mate, he looked good.
Dynamite.
He looks good, but I do agree with what you said. He does look a lot older than he is.
He looks like the Pringles man.
He does look like the Pringles man.
It's kind of terrifying because I think you then automatically associate the Pringles man being the same age as the Monopoly man, which means his granddad.
He's a dickhead, the Monopoly man.
Do you think?
Yeah, of course.
Are you going off? Like,
no,
Ace
that's
Ventura.
Who he is, isn't he? That's his whole thing.
Ace Ventura. Do not pass go.
I actually plan on. I've had it on my tattoo list for a long time to get the Monopoly Man on the back of my leg.
Really?
So I've got the Scar Man on the other. You see?
Yeah.
And the Scar Man's doing the dance, yeah. But he's moving in that direction. So I was gonna have the Monopoly Man on the other ankle chasing him. So it looks like
for some wedge.
Yeah, and then maybe on this side I could have Madness doing the whole fucking seven in a row.
Just all the way up your leg.
Receive the lid. Oh, fucking listening to Madness the other day, mate. Brilliant. Just what a band.
I think I love Spotify or whichever streamer because it gives me a wicked playlist.
Yeah.
Like my playlist is something like, I think it's a week long, but I had the one that you suggested, I think it was 10 Foot Ganja Plant. I was walking through...
I don't sound like something I'd recommend. It sounds like...
Definitely.
Contraband.
No, that's the name of the band.
It's smoky in here, isn't it?
It's nice, eh? It's got that aura. It's just for the space. It's for the chocolate space. But I was listening to that and it's just the amount of times I missed you or say something or like when we're having our tattoos done or whatever, like you've got these different bits you can drop into and like the amount of time I'm driving and a random song comes on.
Yeah.
That every time I watch a film, it's like, hey... Her that shall not be named. who's singing this? And then your phone will answer without you having to do anything. You imagine, remember back in the day, trying to remember a song before Google or before Shazam?
Mate, it would, like, though this is where the internet's kind of spoiled things, because people would get into really heated debates and arguments yeah. about things that they were absolutely fucking sure of.
Adamant.
Who sung Stand and Deliver? Cockney Rejects. No, it was Cockney Rejects. I'm yeah. telling you, it was Cockney Rejects. Mate, it wasn't Cockney Rejects.
Let me get an encyclopedia.
He was Adamant. Yeah, no, it's just kind of nullified that now. People don't get into debates. They go, no, hang on a minute. Yeah, no, you're wrong.
Cheers, dude. But I love that because I need to know because it hurts my brain. It's the same as movie stars and stuff. You know, before IMDb,
yeah,
you can't, you know, when like you'll see someone go, what's she been in? You just got a list. You just fly through and you're like, oh, yeah, Brookside. Yeah, I remember her.
So we'll see if you remember this then. You'll remember a bunch of these. Funnily enough, Mark Coleman's also on this card.
Okay.
So this was Liam O'Brien's suggestion, Pride 26, Bad to the Bone.
I'll struggle with Pride. Go on.
Okay.
Hit me with them.
Well, tell me your everlasting memory of these fighters. Well, the first two fights on the card, you probably won't remember. Do you remember Daiju Takase?
No.
Got a win over Anderson Silva by triangle choke on this card.
I remember seeing crazy. That because researching backwards to find out who had beat Anderson Silva.
Yeah, and you saw the Rio Chonin, the flying ankle lock as well.
Wasn't he the piranha?
He was. He's a scary looking dude, see? He is. He's got like that kind of death stare, just looks straight through you.
Yeah.
But does also look like a piranha.
Yeah.
Alistair Overeem was in this one, but Nick Bensick? I can't remember.
Was
him.
That Slim Overeem?
I think it might have been, Chuck. Yeah. That was it was knee to the body and punches, yeah.
Yeah.
But higher up on the card, so the top three fights, Mark Coleman versus Don Fry.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mirko Krokop, Heath Herring.
Yeah.
And that was a kick to the body. He like folded him into the corner.
Yeah.
And then Fedor against Kazuyuki Fujita. And Fujita had him dancing, do you remember?
Yeah,
and then Bas Rutten said he's doing the fish tank dance in the fucking commentary.
Fish tank
like,
dance?
Like everybody I watched that with, they were like, what's a fish tank? Yeah.
That should be a thing
a fish
then,
tank dance.
From now
it
on.
Should.
Yeah.
It should. Okay, let me find
out. I do remember though, because Mark Coleman's everlasting memory for me in Pride is him falling over the ropes when he was celebrating.
Mate,
when he jumped,
like he went fucking mental, didn't he?
It was
he went
a full mad. Fail army.
He went mad. But then his Mark Coleman's fight against Krokop was one of the most brutal performances of takedown offense I've ever seen. Like Krokop, just it was like you couldn't touch him.
Yeah,
you just couldn't touch him. So here's one for you because I don't remember this card personally.
Is it America versus Canada on the army base?
It might be. No, I don't think so. It's a numbered event. So it was UFC 129 MMA Commander. Commander MMA has suggested.
Okay.
And the main event
129.
Was...
Oh, fuck. Whoa, 129. Wait.
I do remember this one. I was there. Huh.
129, isn't that around the era of Sun and Silver?
It was cold as fuck outside. I remember that because it was in Canada.
Okay. So it's the GSP stadium, batshit crazy.
Massive.
Yeah.
50,000 people. It was like the rows at the top looked like they were over you.
Against Jake Shields.
Jake Shields. And
who
Jose
just lost
Aldo's
his dad.
On the,
just oh, lost his dad. Really? Like the couple of days before that fight.
Not a good week for him.
No, because his dad used to go to every... Like, wasn't he his corner man as well?
Oh, yeah.
And his coach. I'm sure it was a tight thing because Jake Shields came from Strikeforce and being...
What's going on with this then, GSP? Because I lost my granddad a couple of weeks before the fight. Is this a... Are we uncovering a conspiracy here?
Mother... I ain't seen it. Well, right? I've lost both my granddads, so GSP can do fuck
there
all. Unless I'll be like, listen, Nana... Nana Dot, just ease
we need off. To, we need to check everybody else that GSP's fought and check their family status.
Did
you
just perhaps lose your grandparent beforehand?
That'd be someone important to your martial arts journey.
Just before a title fight. That's kind of creepy.
Changes the whole perspective of George St. Pierre, doesn't it?
We'll take that statue down.
Mm.
Mind you, he'd be happy with that. He don't like it, does
he? They just changed the name plaque to Barack Obama.
It looks put a suit on him.
It looks just like Obama.
Dude,
it's really odd.
You don't look like GSP.
No, it doesn't. Okay. This was a wicked card.
It
so you remembered the main event. So GSP versus Jake Shields was the main event. That was a 5-round decision.
Yes.
The co-main event was a 5-round decision. Jose Aldo, Mark Hominick.
With the
hematoma. The fucking alien growing on his forehead.
Mark Hominick nearly had it done.
It was...
In the fourth, at the beginning of the fourth, he looked like he was going to kill it.
He had a really good round five as well, but yeah. I think that's kind of because Aldo took it off and just laid on his back with Hominick in his guard.
Aldo was
Have
tired.
You seen the swelling from that mystery?
Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was like Joanna's against Zhang Weili.
Yeah, yeah.
Like proper Klingon.
Yeah. But if you remember, because then Hominick got this massive following from that, because he came from WEC, climbed the ranks.
He got this massive
hematoma. But then he came out and fought, was it the Korean Zombie or something?
Oh,
and got finished in like 11 seconds.
Yeah, it was super fast, wasn't it?
After going five rounds with Aldo, you think,
I know,
he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
No, that was the end of Hominick.
It's the curse of going five rounds with a champ. I think
he still
get
coaches
them,
don't he? So, who's your grandparent?
I know, right? Go What's going on here?
Then get bingoed. All right.
There's a pattern.
There is definitely a pattern. It's a GSP pattern.
Next fight down. Lyoto Machida.
Okay.
And Randy Couture's retirement fight.
Oh, yeah. That was teeth into the,
remember
seat,
that?
To the top row.
Fucking his retirement fight needs dental work.
Awful. And the kick was a Karate five. Kid kick on the end of the pier.
He kicked
that tooth into like, well, I don't know.
Crane kick. But it was... That was after Anderson had done it to Vitor, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, like, he beat him to it.
Yeah, because Lyoto almost took off. He did like a full crane kick where Anderson was like a bit more snipey-like. It struck like a cobra.
Yeah, Anderson just stung him right on the jaw, didn't he? Whereas this was like a snap front kick.
How did you feel about that, Vitor Anderson?
I loved it.
Because I wanted more fight. There was a lot of feeling out. And then
same as Aldo McGregor. I wanted to see more of it, however... You know,
you've got to be impressed.
It was amazing. True. So the next two down, Vladimir Matyushenko against Jason Brills.
The janitor.
You remember the janitor, right?
Don't fuck around with the janitor.
And then Mark Bocek. Do you remember Bocek?
Yeah, the barbarian.
Yes, it was. He looked like Riley from the gym. He was proper
if Riley
proper
had
ginger.
Eaten 15 Rileys.
He was white, he was blue.
Wasn't he, it was Bocek, he had a couple of surprising wins.
Four?
Not Yushinokami.
No.
That was later on, right? Was it Heath? What's his name?
Toothpick
is Benson Henderson.
Toothpick is Benson Henderson. Benderson Henderson.
I like Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
I like the wings he's got on his back.
Mate, how about this one? The preliminary card. Well, Jake Ellenberger against Sean Pearson, but Nate Diaz against Rory McDonald.
Yeah.
Three-round decision for Rory. And then the early prelims, who were on this.
Rory just played with him. If you remember, he suplexed Nate, I think, three times.
Fucking Ivan Menjivar.
Yeah. Little dude, right?
Like, yeah, but he was like a Canadian version of Paul Jenkins.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, fought everybody, any weight class.
Came out swinging.
Yeah, he was a bantamweight, but he was fighting up at light, kind of like Spencer Fisher a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, BJ Penn, when he bounced off for a little bit, he went and fought Lyoto, didn't he? Do you remember when BJ had like weird contract issues?
Yeah.
In between beating Matt Hughes.
Yeah, was it like a light heavyweight bout against Machida?
Fought Machida
in a ring.
What are you doing?
I think it was.
What are you doing?
Weird.
There was a lot of that though. There was a lot of that weird, like.
A bit more chaotic though back in the day,
wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember the events before and after this one?
Can I remember the events before Canada and after?
Before and after this one?
Yeah, well, I'll be able to tell you what happened.
129. 28 was Shogun Jones.
Well, that's you're going to forget that quick if you show them.
Yeah, exactly. And UFC 130 was Rampage v. Hamill.
Yeah, that was ugly, wasn't it?
It was. There were some good fights on these cards, though. Like 128, Jones Shogun, Faber Wineland.
Mate, Faber Wineland was a good... See, look, honestly, airplane. There's an airplane.
Are you in airplane, Mystery? Oh, fuck, I've got to take the blame for it then.
But what was the era? What year was it when it was Brock Lesnar versus what's his name? Old Big Hands.
Shane Carwin.
Because there was that week. There was Shane Carwin, Brock Lesnar, which was an incredible fight, and it was also a week
Shane Carwin
after,
almost had him out of there.
He did. He just got really tired. It was...
Because he thought the referee was going to stop it, so he kept punching him.
He probably should have.
Like, punched him constantly for about 3 minutes.
Mate.
The referee didn't stop it.
The size of his
ended the round, and he was gassed to fuck in the second.
Because didn't Brock get a sub? He got a sub win on that one. He had an arm triangling.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Because then it was Sun and Silver.
Because he was already gassed.
Yeah.
So that was UFC 116.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, mate, I was there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're in a Ben Sherman. I think you stood up.
I fucking was.
Yeah, yeah.
116. Yeah. No. Oh, shit. No, I think that was before that because I just fought at UFC 105 and I'd flown over to be at 106.
Okay.
That was the, because Koscheck fought Rumble Johnson,
that's
didn't
it, he? Yeah.
No, this 116, I was here. I remember this specifically because of the Chris Lieben Akiyama walkout. Because it was like, Chris Lieben came out to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And it was bouncing. It was like Roller Coaster of Love or something like that. And the whole fucking arena was going and the lights
he
and everything.
He had some energy. He had some good,
mate,
he had
didn't.
Some good energy.
He was awesome to watch, Chris Lieben was. Then Akiyama walked out and the whole arena went black. Like completely picked and all these phones come out. And then all of a sudden there's like this blue swish going around. Yeah. You can see his eyes on that like strip around. And then the Andrea Bocelli starts to play.
Mate.
And there's just a spotlight on the entrance and he's standing there holding hands with his corner man with tears in his eyes. Like
sexy
he was
arm,
like
man.
He was being taken out to be executed.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But
like honourable execution.
But they put so much effort in. There was a lot more of undercard people getting a bit more of that love. I remember when Diego came out with like a whole mariachi band.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, oh yeah, of course he
that
did.
Was fucking cool.
Not as bad as when Chuck walked out to fight Randy though. And they had the whole entrance. Like Randy just walked out with the big stars and stripes on the on the screen behind him. Just walked out, nice and quiet, living it or something. You know, walked out.
Randy walked out to Thunderstruck or Kravitz Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, I think it was that because it was the American flag in the background. And then all of a sudden there was this big build up for Chuck Liddell to walk out because he was,
he was the name.
He was the replacement of Tito. Wanted when Tito's popularity waned. And they did this, like the Tap Out crew did it, and it was Mask on the video, and they had all these screens, and like Mask kept going from one screen to the next, and there was like ice and
what,
snow
like an Alton
and shit.
Towers shitty
mate,
video when you walk.
It was
dare
like,
you ride the Nemesis?
Exactly like that. It was like, who's this? The Iceman.
I remember.
You remember? It was like, just, and then he fucking walked out, and there was this whole thing, and like, you know, like steam and smoke and shit, and fireworks and whatever, and Randy just big brothered him for the whole fight.
Literally holding a spit over him, sucking it back up.
It was.
Randy, get off.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad, that was.
Mate.
This was a good card as well, you know. This was a really good card. So, Carwin Lesnar, Lieben Akiyama, Chris Lytle, Matt Brown. Fucking hell, what a war.
Yeah. Isn't Faber on that as well?
No, he's not on this one. Christoph Sosnowski against...
Christoph Soszynski. Season two.
Noz.
He went into acting. He does a lot of acting now.
He does.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he always plays the same kind of character.
A bit like Tate.
A bit typecast.
Have you seen Tate?
Yeah.
He always
plays a pirate. He's always a pirate and an outlaw or someone that lives in the desert or in the jungle.
Grufty bad guy. Yeah. White, grufty bad dude.
There we go. He's a good dude, Tate.
He's been in Jumanji and all sorts.
Yeah.
He's done good.
So Christoph fought Stefan Bonner.
Yes, and beat him.
Yep. Because, George Snuffleupagus fought Kurt Pellegrino.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That
Batman.
Was good. Batman. Preliminary card. Let's have a look at this. Brendan Schaub against Chris Teixeira.
That Seth was off Petruzzelli the back of season
10. Let me see if there's anybody else. Oh, Kendall Grove was on this one.
Season 3.
Fucking David Branch. Forrest Pretz was on this one.
Was that Branch's first run?
Would
have been, right?
Yeah, he was 22-6 at the time, I think. He lost, though, to Gerald Harris.
He lost a couple because then he came back after doing, was it WEC, World of Fighting or whatever it was. He got a belt.
World of Fighting.
It's like the rip-off to Street Fighter. You remember when someone had a Neo Geo and they're like, have you played Monsters versus Tigers? And you're like, this is dickhead. It's not fucking Street Fighter.
Right.
So which ones... Is that? Did you go through them all?
I reckon we could cap it. I reckon we should stop there because I reckon next time around people will get it and we'll have loads more thingies. If you're going to send it, send us a screenshot like that. That
is that what they're
me
doing?
Trying to, save me trying to look it up on here.
Who specifically did that?
Well, we've had a couple. Seminoles.
Thank you, Seminoles.
There's a lot of Mark Coleman's coming up on here.
Are they just digging out Mark Coleman's?
He bought a lot, you know what I mean? Liam O'Brien, he sent a screenshot as well, so nice one for that.
Thank you, Liam.
Yeah, there's a few. We'll have a good chat about these next time.
What's your everlasting memory of Coleman in the UFC? If the pride getting, one is him going,
mate, you
over.
Know what it is. It's not a good one either.
Is he taking a shoe
it's
to
him,
the mouth?
It's him taking a shoe to the face,
mate.
Which still looks kind of odd to me. I'm like. If you choose to wear shoes, you can't kick people in the head.
Of course not.
Right?
What the fuck?
Because if you could wear shoes and you can also kick people in the head, why would you not wear shoes?
Yeah, but it wasn't even the kick. It was the cartoon.
It was. Yeah, for sure.
Because they were both. Wasn't it extra time or some random shit? It was exhausted. Last round,
mate.
Just caught that to the shit to the mouth. Just like.
And Mark Coleman dropped. As well. He was like, I mean, he looked like a fucking
a steroid.
Well, yeah.
No disrespect.
He looked like a pro wrestler. He was built like a WWE wrestler.
But the camps at that time there was so much in the animosity of like you couldn't lose.
Well, they were all kind of built the same, weren't they? Was it Hammerhouse? It was Mark Coleman.
Randleman
was awesome. Oh, he was a fucking monster as well. Rest his soul.
Just destroyers.
Fucking Phil Baroni, who's constantly chirping still.
Well, the New York badass. Listen, we can live off memories, but I can't be watching him mowing the lawn and fucking chirping at everyone. Come on now,
mate. He should train and corner Mike Perry. Because they are basically the same person.
They'd make a wicked tag team,
right?
Wouldn't they?
Oh, they would, wouldn't they? They're like the Rockers.
They'd be good to have in the rough act. We'd bring them down. I don't know if you'd be able to have them. I don't know if you get insurance for both of them in one room.
No chance.
We'd have to not tell Wad. But that would be interesting. You know, to have a Phil Brony, an invasion.
Hey,
of Phil Brony and Matt Perry.
Mike Perry would get blasted around the room by Jimmy Warhead, though. Mate, I know you've not seen it yet. The Rough House episode that comes out tonight.
It's a new one. Oh, man, we're watching
it. It's vicious. The extended one's out on Patreon already, isn't it? Check out the Patreon if you want some more coaching and stuff information, because the longer episodes are, there's a lot more good information in there. The 10-minute, there's a lot of brutality in this evening's episode.
Okay.
Jimmy was fucking on one.
Well, I loved, and I said to you, I know you weren't here, but I hope you can relate to this, because I'd watched the episode where you were basically taking no shit, but... It was when you came in. So, Jimmy, the episode had been on a few minutes. There was some Super Mario music playing. Fuck. Ollie had a bit of a win, so was on a bit of a high and sat in the corner. And he's talking to the camera. Jimmy's already... He's been assertive, but he's not been an arsehole. And because then you came in and you weren't happy, and it's the way that you kicked off, which is normal. That's fine. It's like your prerogative. So I go, I'm not having this. He's not okay. And then Jimmy almost looked at the camera and it was like a mum and a dad, that the dad's gone really hard. And then the mum is trying to back him up, but she's like, yeah, all right, so we'll just get your room tidy, shall we? It's not like she's going, yeah, fucking, otherwise you're grounded. So like the way that Jimmy, I flashed the camera, I was like, oh, I didn't expect... Jimmy was seconds away from getting involved in that conversation with Ollie and being part of the problem. Realised he'd missed it by about a second and then turned to look at you. He was like, that's right. We'll tell him. Go, brilliant. Absolutely. But you've seen that, Dan, before. That I'm fucking mad, Dan.
I'll tell you what was hilarious is that last episode where Ollie landed that body shot.
Mate.
Sam's a fucking really good Thai boxer and he'd had a good few rounds. And Jimmy's shouting over that. He's like, 1-3 grenade bar. And then it's like right as they're exchanging and Ollie goes to land the shot, you can hear Jimmy in the background. He's like, go on, Ollie, get yourself a grenade bar. It's like it's this fucking like this.
Like it's this like, golden thing.
Yeah.
Do I like these? It's not the point of liking it. It says it's birthday
fucking
cake.
Hell.
Doesn't
the birthday cake one's like purple and blue and pink.
Honestly, yeah. Fucking makes hell. You fucking unicorn shit. But the thing was, it's watching that and seeing Ollie land it and look at the camera and you just know that all the stars align.
Yeah.
But Jimmy's still got that one over him, just chucking him a 10 or whatever it is. And it's all from love. But that to me is that banter that is so synonymous with, well, that sort of environment.
Yeah.
And I think... That honestly, that gives you that little bit of armor.
Yeah.
Because then no one can ever really say anything to you. Because
no,
the closest people who know you better than anyone, that no one will ever say well done.
Yeah.
Ever. Like my mate David, me and him, every week we play Monopoly Deal. And for whatever reason, it's a card game on PlayStation, so it's random. But no shit, he gets the best cards 80% of the time. So when I do win, he's always like, oh, well, it's just a fucking fluke, so you can go fuck yourself. And the other week, he sat down with me, and I'd had a bit of a tough week, and he is a counsellor by trade. So when me and him are having a cheeky smoke, I'll often, like, just reel off some shit to him.
He's playing in the door, I think.
He's definitely playing in the door. Yeah. So he actually came over and he said, listen, I don't want you to think that. I really thought you're a prick. I just, you'd done well. And I was like, what are you trying to do? And he's like, I'm just saying that game you won, it was really impressive. I was like, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. Fuck off. Don't even fucking come to me with that. I'm going to get your neck. I didn't beat him again. But it's more the point of, it feels more alien when someone's sincere because you are sincere through being a prick.
Yeah.
And that to me, you always have to be a prick. Like my sister-in-law, I've always taken the piss out of her because she's got a bit of the smallest speech impediment occasionally on certain words, right? But literally, no matter what I say to her, I will rip the piss through her because she knows if I stop doing that, She's more uncomfortable. Yeah, more uncomfortable. I'm like, why aren't you taking the piss out of me anymore? Why? You can tell something's wrong. So it is a weird one, but there's a lot of comfort in that. And I think anyone tuning into the Rough House thing at the minute, it feels like home. It feels like a mini series. It's been around forever. It doesn't matter if you're picking up episode 1 or episode 10. You can pick your favourites out immediately. And even when Jimmy was explaining a drill, and he was getting kind of frustrated because this is fundamentals. It's one of them where there was still that element of like, what the fuck? It's something's going to happen.
Mm.
And then you only need to get Joe or someone on the camera and like ripping the piss out of Mr. Joe the other way around. Was it when Joe, we took him down. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to tell Jimmy he did that one wrong. He's like, what? I didn't, did I? And you could see how much it matters.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're on guard for like, I'm not going to take shit. I'm not going to be vulnerable, but
it's a wicked atmosphere. We have so much fun there, you know, especially the squad sessions are just, I mean, we had what, 24 there on Monday. We need more mat space. We're going to move to that the bigger space in Loughborough soon. So we'll actually be opening the Rough House, which will be very cool for the first time.
I've actually got some new designs.
Oh, wicked.
I sat up and I did them the other night, so I've got them ready for people.
Well, we should wrap this here and then do a bit of grown-up work.
I've got to put some stuff up, haven't we?
We have.
We can do that. Well, just a quick one then. Thank you to everyone who has continued to support. I know we've moved to a new platform. It doesn't always make things easy when you have to sign up and do a new account. But basically, without everyone doing and buying, we can't carry on. So we're massively grateful for everyone to continue to support. Obviously, getting the orders out. There's the new difference with the pin badges, which people seem to like, which is good. So it's just, massive appreciation, really.
Loads of new T-shirts. We've got that martial arts one that you're wearing with the bonsai tree on the back. The boxing ones are selling fast, aren't they?
Flying.
We've got the lifestyle ones. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's a good billboard, mate.
It's
a good billboard. Yeah, we can't give you the back with the T-shirt. No. You'll have to build your own back. But we've got a bunch of new stuff.
If you put Dean's back on me, I'd look like Leonardo from the Turtles.
You would.
The fucking shell.
You would.
But yeah, so there's the co. There's a few new caps. To be fair, we try and bring as much stuff through as often as we can, but when we do these drops, it's nice that people, they sort of react to it, which is cool. So, it's just very grateful of our little community more than anything. I want to say thanks after having a successful launch.
Yeah, and sticker packs will return, but with better quality and better numbers and better organisation.
Just got to untwist my brain around the sticker board. But are we recording? We'll definitely be a bonus.
Of course.
That's coming soon.
Of course. Right.
Nice one, dude.
Nice one, mate.
Yeah, take it easy.
Good catching up. Catch you next time.